ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So reading from Canto 5, Chapter 5, the chapter is entitled Lord Rishabhdev's Teachings. This is text 14. Karmasayam hridaya granti badham avidyaya saditam apramataha Nena yogena yatopadesham samyag vyapoyo paramheta yoga. Purport, a translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. As I have advised you, my dear sons, you should act accordingly. Be very careful. By these means, you will be freed from the ignorance of the desire for fruitive activity, and the knot of bondage in the heart will be completely severed. For further advancement, you should also give up the means. That is, you should not become attached to the process of liberation itself. Purport. The process of liberation is Brahma Jigyasa, the search for the Absolute Truth. Generally, Brahma Jigyasa is called Neti Neti, the process by which one analyzes existence to search out the Absolute Truth. This method continues as long as one is not situated in his spiritual life. Spiritual life is Brahma-Bhuta, the self-realized state. In the words of Bhagavad Gita, 1854, Brahma-Bhuta prasannatma na sochati na kankshati sama sarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. The idea is to enter into the Parabhakti, the transcendental devotional service of the Lord. To attain this, one must analyze one's existence. But when one is actually engaged in devotional service, he should not bother seeking out knowledge. By simply engaging in devotional service undeviatingly, one will always remain in the liberated condition. Mam chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. It's from Bhagavad Gita 14:26. The unflinching execution of devotional service is in itself Brahma-Bhuta. Another important feature in this connection is anena yogena yatopadesham. The instructions received from the spiritual master must be followed immediately. One should not deviate from or surpass the instructions of the spiritual master. One should not be simply intent on consulting books, but one should simultaneously execute the spiritual master's order. Yato Padesham. Mystic power should be achieved to enable one to give up the material conception. But when one is actually engaged in devotional service, one does not need to practice the mystic yogic system. The point is that one can give up the practice of yoga, but devotional service cannot be given up. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.7.10, Atmaramas chamunayo nigranta apyurukrame kurvantyat hai tukam bhaktim itam bhuta guno harihi. Even those who are liberated, that is the Atmaramas, must always engage in devotional service. One may give up the practice of yoga when one is self-realized, but at no stage can one give up devotional service. All other activities for self-realization, including yoga and philosophical speculation, may be given up, but devotional service must be retained at all times. And so this chapter is entitled Teachings by Lord Rishabhdev. And he's speaking to his 100 sons. Actually, it's mentioned he had 100 sons, 50 were considered to be devotionally inclined, the others weren't. And out of those 50, there were 10 who were prominent. And of course, the most prominent was, of course, Bart Maharaj. And he's speaking, he's giving the most elevated philosophical principles. Srila Prabhupada said these teachings of Lord Rishabhdev are the topmost teachings. They're actually meant for those on the very high platform of spiritual practice, for the Paramahansas. And in the previous verse, Rishabhdev gives a very detailed itemized list of the different items that one should follow in devotional service. Taking shelter of the spiritual master, undergoing severe penances and austerities, trying to see within all living entities that living entity is by nature spiritual. In other words, try to see the Lord within the heart. Give up anger, enmity, lamentation, envy. Give up the identification of the body. Study scriptures. Find a place which is conducive for execution of devotional service and execute it there very diligently, very determinately. Practice celibacy. Always think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And execute Bhakti Yoga with patience and detachment from material activities. Here, now after explaining the different items, he says you should act accordingly, be very careful. Ultimately, do not be attached to the process itself, be attached to the goal of the process, which is devotional service. Gradually, come to the platform of being fully engaged in devotional service. Ultimately, but devotional service is the constitutional position of all living entities. The goal of life is ultimately to come to the process of devotional service. And when we speak of devotional service, we speak of that service which is free from all personal motivation. Sometimes we speak of devotional service that are mixed with different, when we say, considerations. The desire for to enjoy the fruits of activities in one's devotional service, karma mishra bhakta, performing activities, we're trying to get some material benefit for that and offering the results of that activity to the Supreme Lord in devotion. That is not pure devotional service, nor will it satisfy the soul. A little better than that is jnana yoga, philosophical speculation on the absolute truth. Trying to free oneself from the suffering of the material energy and trying to understand the Lord through philosophy. But Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Bahunam gyanamam ante gyanamam mam papadyante vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sadurlabaha. That after many, many births and deaths, one who's actually understood all conclusions of all knowledge, they surrender in devotional service. They give up all other processes, engage in devotional service. Again, Krishna confirms that in the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that the highest yogi is one who always abides in me, engages in devotional service, making me the goal of that activities. Ayabilasita sunya jnana kama navritam anukalena krishna silanam bhakti uttamam. That devotional service really means pure devotional service. Really, and that is the actual process that is given in Srimad Bhagavatam and given by the previous and present acharyas. We have to come to the stage of somehow freeing ourselves from personal motivation. Otherwise, the soul will never be satisfied. Savaipum samparo dhammo yato bhakti ahoksajay ahaituki apriyata yatma supersedati. In that devotional service, which is, of course, it's mentioned here by Prabhupada in the purport, unmotivated and also uninterrupted. So that is devotional service, or on the spontaneous platform. And if Rupa Goswami explains how the living being goes through the various stages in devotional service, first he takes shelter. First he has some faith, and he comes in association with Vaishnavas. He's attracted to the process, and therefore through that attraction he associates with those who are engaged in the process. Through that association and through hearing, then he becomes inclined to make devotional service his main goal. And he takes instructions and guidance and initiation from the representative of the Supreme Lord, the bona fide spiritual master. Very carefully executing the process under the guidance of the spiritual master, following his instructions perfectly. We speak that one of the offenses to chanting of the holy names, the third offense, is to disobey the instructions of the spiritual master. Or sometimes we say to minimize the instructions of the spiritual master. All the spiritual master's instructions are relevant accordingly. Therefore, one must hear, try to understand, and apply these instructions in one's life carefully, very carefully. The process here, Rishabhdev also says, be very careful to apply my instructions, and that way you will get the results. And those, so in the same way, he is acting in the position as the spiritual master. So he's saying, carefully apply my instructions in your devotional life. So devotional service is a matter of cultivation of the instructions of the spiritual master, very carefully applying those instructions and understanding the importance that these instructions is the foundations for all advancement in spiritual life. Meditating on the instructions of the spiritual master. Prabhupada emphasized this, that one of the ways to keep the mind controlled is to engage the mind in thinking of the instructions of the spiritual master. What are the instructions in each and every circumstance? And that way the mind is fixed. The mind is on the right, what we say, in the right direction. Keeping that mind engaged in the instructions of the spiritual master. So after taking instructions from the spiritual master and executing the process with great determination, enthusiasm, patience, following the process, associating with devotees, then gradually what we call those things that are unwanted, material attachments, material desires, even what we called contaminations that are due to the association of material energy for many lifetimes. The conditioned soul has been associating with material energy for so many lifetimes. So that when we say contamination or due to that association, it goes deep. It goes very deep. And to remove these contaminations is a constant practice of cultivation. Constant. And so these anarthas, they keep coming out. Now the next stage is anartha nivritti, or removing unwanted desires. But still, even in that stage, still there is unwanted desires that continue even beyond that stage. The more subtle forms of desires, attachment to profit, adoration and distinction, attachment to position, attachment to it's called Taranga Rangini. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, what we say, the alkaloids or the benefits that one receives in the process of bhakti, such as position, honor, wealth or control, so many things, glorification, praise. You can think of so many things. These things are also what we say, external. They're not really bhakti in a sense. They support bhakti in the sense that whatever comes, one can use them in the service of the Lord, but one gets attached to these things as one's success in bhakti, then one's subtle contamination increases or continues. So one must be free from that. One ultimately has to come to the process or come to the consciousness that to serve Krishna for the pleasure of Krishna, really. That is bhakti. To come to serve the Lord in order to please the Lord. Anukulena Krishna Silanam. Not just to please the Lord, but consciously trying to please the Lord. Srila Prabhupada explains that even the demons please the Lord, but they don't get bhakti. And Krishna likes to fight. And so he comes to the material world in order to fight. And he fights, he can't fight with the devotees, because the devotees are, they have a different mood of loving relationship. So sometimes, of course, in the case of Jaya Vijay, the devotees become demons in order to facilitate the Lord's desire to fight. So Krishna kills the demons, and he has great pleasure in doing that. At the same time, he gives them liberation. But that is not considered bhakti. There's, the Lord is pleased, but at the same time, he doesn't award bhakti. Because the demons do not intend to please the Lord. The intention of pleasing the Lord is the foremost principle of bhakti, that I want to please Krishna. I want to please Krishna's devotees. I want to please the spiritual master. So as the anarthas gradually become less, then one starts to develop ruchi or taste. Devotional service becomes, or one starts to become steady. I'm sorry, nishtha is next, nishtha. Steadiness, one becomes steady in devotional service, becomes fixed in the process. Then from steadiness, a sense of sweetness, a taste comes. All this devotional service is sweet. The chanting is sweet, the association is wonderful. Everything about devotional service, a devotee finds great pleasure in engaging it, no matter what it is, because it's in relationship to Krishna. And through that ruchi, then gradually one becomes attached to Krishna, a shakti. And that means that one cannot do anything else but devotional service. So we're coming towards the stage of spontaneous devotional service. And one becomes, it's explained that on that stage, there are symptoms that are understood by a devotee on that stage. One of the stage symptoms is he doesn't waste time. Doesn't waste time. Wants to use every minute in devotional service to the Lord. Sometimes we see, we hear about Srila Prabhupada and his life, how he was so determined to use every moment in Krishna consciousness. I would hear stories. Of course, I had very little association with Prabhupada myself, but I would hear stories how when Prabhupada would be sometimes be going, traveling to a certain place, and certain devotees were scheduled or supposed to come with Prabhupada. And if they weren't ready on time when Prabhupada was leaving, he would leave. And then they would have to get another car and catch up with Prabhupada or make arrangements somehow. So Prabhupada was like that, not to waste any time. That is one of the symptoms of one who is on the higher stages of bhakti, wants to use every moment engaged in devotional service. And gradually, the next stage is bhava, and then, of course, prema. So that one has to come to that stage. Devotional service is actually is the goal of life. And devotional service here, it's explained that the devotional service is it's uninterrupted and it's not motivated by any personal motivation. And then one can transcend the modes of material nature and come to the spontaneous platform. So that is devotional service. It's on the spontaneous platform. It's in relationship to Krishna, and it's meant for the pleasure of Krishna. So we're practicing the process of devotional service, trying to free ourselves from the unwanted desires. And gradually, as these desires go, and as one becomes more and more fixed in devotional service, then one can... Here, it's also mentioned that one doesn't have to cultivate knowledge separately. It's mentioned that knowledge and renunciation are also a facility of devotional service. Now, there's one verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam that explains that simply by executing devotional service, one gets causeless knowledge and also detachment from the material energy. So knowledge and detachment are also part of devotional service. One doesn't have to cultivate these things separately. Of course, we study the scripture, but that is also bhakti itself. We have to have a foundation, but ultimately it's not that we have to cultivate a little bit of knowledge to get fixed in devotional service, but ultimately, as one pleases Krishna through the process of devotional service, the knowledge that we read in the scriptures becomes vigyan. Knowledge is gyan and vigyan, philosophical, theoretical knowledge based on scripture. But that is only the first part of that knowledge. When the knowledge actually becomes realized, then it becomes devotional service. Then you can understand. We're looking for realization. We don't want theory. We can read the scriptures, but unless we practice the process carefully, the knowledge remains theoretical. And when Krishna is pleased, then that knowledge becomes revealed within the heart. Transcendental knowledge is what is said, it's intuitive knowledge. It's revealed gradually. It's gradually revealed. So gradually, one doesn't have to cultivate that knowledge separately from devotional service. And also renunciation. The process of devotional service is automatically the process of giving up what we call things that are not necessary. Renunciation doesn't simply mean those things that we're attached to, but it's anything that's not necessary for devotional service one must give up. One of the principles of devotional service is to accept everything that is favorable for the execution of devotional service and to reject those things which are unfavorable. And what are unfavorable? Those things which ultimately can't be used in devotional service. Of course, as one makes advancement in Krishna consciousness, one can see how to use every situation in Krishna consciousness. That comes by the process of purification. But in the more preliminary stages, we have to be careful what we take on in our devotional service because we're still attached to so many things. Therefore, strict guidance and very much adherence to the instructions of the spiritual master are necessary in order to make progress in devotional service. So it's devotional service, that service which is executed with devotion. And not just. And devotional service automatically brings renunciation from material desires. It brings realization of Krishna. And it ultimately brings transcendental knowledge. Everything comes by devotional service. In the 11th canto is one verse that explains that just like when you eat, you automatically get satisfaction, there's some pleasure, and then there's nourishment. So devotional service automatically brings realization of one's relationship with Krishna, transcendental knowledge, and detachment from material energy. So we have to carefully cultivate the process of devotional service as instructed by the spiritual master. Here, we see sometimes it becomes difficult to really understand what is necessary and what is not necessary in devotional service. But Srila Prabhupada has summed it up that basically follow the regulative principles and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and avoid offenses. These are pretty much the focus of a devotee. Follow the regulative principles. When we say regulative principles, we mean 64 regulative principles. Of course, some of them don't apply according to time, place, and circumstances, but therefore guidance from the spiritual master. But Srila Prabhupada explains 64 regulative principles, avoid offenses, and of course, chant the holy names of the Lord. This avoiding offenses is a very, what we say, conscious, a part of our execution of devotional service. Because offenses make the process, what we say, not only slow, but actually stop the process. One has to be careful not to commit offenses. Bhaktivinoda Thakura explains that there are three categories of offenses. Offenses to the holy name, offenses in the process of bhakti itself, and offenses to the Vaishnavas. And within those three categories, there are other categories. But these are the three main categories of offenses. So one has to carefully give up the offenses. One should know the offenses, and especially offenses to the holy name, offenses to the Vaishnavas, because these make the process impossible, slow. Offenses are like cloud. Devotional service is like the sun. And when clouds cover the sun, although the sun is still there, one cannot get the benefit of the light of the sun because of the cloud of the offenses. So offenses have to be carefully given up, especially offenses to Vaishnavas. The first offense to the holy name mentions that. It's the mad elephant offense. That offense that destroys one's devotional creeper quickly. The explanation is that an elephant is it's a very huge animal. And if you let it in, devotional service is like cultivating a garden. You're planting a seed, you're making sure the soil is nice, you're giving it some proper watering. The watering is hearing and chanting, making sure that it gets sufficient sunlight. The ground is actually our active service throughout the day. The watering process is the hearing and chanting. But then again, if it's not protected carefully by avoiding offenses, then like a mad elephant, it destroys that garden. So you have to be very careful. The process works, and the process is powerful, and the process is quick. But the contamination within the heart and the association with material sense gratification and the committing offenses make it very, very slow and actually practically stop the process of devotional service. So how do we give up offenses? By being careful. That's what Rishabhdev is saying here. Be very careful in execution of your devotional service. Prabhupada says conscious and cautious. Conscious of Krishna and cautious not to do the wrong thing. Sometimes we do a lot of right things, but we also do a few wrong things. How to avoid the wrong things? Cultivate the qualities of a Vaishnava. The mode of passion forces one to act in such a way that one will make offenses. One, therefore, it's explained by Krishna to Arjuna, one should come to the mode of goodness. Cultivate the qualities of the mode of goodness. Amanitvam, adambitvam. Humility, pridelessness, tolerance, respect for others, not asking respect for oneself. Of course, when we speak these verses, we say them every day, and sometimes it becomes routine. But when we really meditate on these verses, they go deep into the essence of the quality of a Vaishnava's character. Actually, that verse, Trinada, I was giving a class a couple days ago in Pune, and they asked me to speak on Shikshastika prayers. And so I had given a seminar previously last year when I went there, and I had finished the first two verses. So they asked me to speak on the third verse. Of course, I'm totally unqualified to speak on these verses. But I was happy to speak on it because I was thinking, here's a good chance for me to hear more about this particular verse because I need to absorb these principles myself. And I was thinking that this verse is actually the mood of a Vaishnava. Humility, tolerance, I mean, we have to tolerate so many things. It's so difficult. Especially if you come to India. I mean, if you're looking for material comforts, it's not the place to come. If you're looking for spiritual association and the power of the process is very strong. India is the land of Dharma, and still the culture, although it's moving away from that, heading towards the Western mood, still it's still very powerful in its mood of spirituality everywhere, and especially within our temples. But if you're looking for material comforts when you come to India, forget it. Forget it. It's just the opposite. You have to tolerate so many difficulties. I guess the thing that I notice most is tolerating is Indian trains. That's the epitome of tolerance. No matter, yesterday I was taking the train from Pune to here, and it was packed. I was in one of these, you know, I usually go for the AC chair car, kind of the nice. But it was a man sitting here and a man sitting here. And he was, one man, he was just like half in my seat reading the newspaper, you know. And I just wanted a chance. I just put my cap over my head, put my earplugs in, and I just practically voided out from everything else around me. Because everyone is eating and talking, and there's so much noise, and you're trying to chant, and, or at least trying to get some rest, and it's just like, adibo. So, you know, at the same time, I'm thinking, I just gave this verse, you know, Trinada Pisani Chena. And so I'm thinking, Krishna's already given me a chance to practice it. So there was a little tolerance there I had to develop. And, you know, after coming to India long enough, you start to expect that. Of course, everywhere, tolerance is everywhere. Of course, it comes in different forms wherever you are. But if you're looking for material comfort, it's not the place to be. But if you're looking for spiritual advancement, seriously looking for spiritual advancement, willing to do whatever is necessary in order to make it. And Krishna's pushing us. Wherever we are, Krishna knows we need a little push to go to the next stage. Whatever our attachments, wherever our what we say are considerations. Sometimes we have conceptions of what is devotional service. We start to conceptualize this is the process of devotional service. Then what happens? And Krishna says, naha, you think you know. And then all of a sudden you find yourself in a different circumstance. But cultivating of this mood of humility, tolerance, and pridelessness and respect for others is actually the means for success in devotional service. It frees one from the tendency to commit offenses, and it puts one in the process of being steady in devotional service, cultivating that mood of devotional service. So the process is there, but cultivating the proper mood makes the process work properly. Okay, so it's already 9 o'clock. We have a big day ahead of us. Today begins the Cross Maidan Festival. So I'll stop here. Do we have time for questions? Jenny, any questions? Udayananda Prabhu? I think they have a microphone.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. In the purport, because I was just listening to the purport where you, Prabhupada mentions the importance of following strictly the instructions of the spiritual master. Yeah. And, you know, Prabhupada wrote so many books, and it was instructing us constantly. Could you elaborate on
Well, there's two kinds of instructions. There is the general instructions, which Prabhupada gives in his talks and in his books. And then there is those that are may have been given specifically by the spiritual master to a devotee accordingly. Those, when you get a specific instruction, then there's no question. There's no question. Then you can clearly understand what you have to do. Of course, until you get clarification, and when you get clarification, Prabhupada told me to do this, so that's clear. But then the general instructions are there. So we have to know what are the essential instructions in our daily life. First of all, Prabhupada said, chant 16 good rounds. He said, not 16 rounds, 16 good rounds. It is one statement, he says. Every day you should chant 16 good rounds. That means that there should be a strong effort on attention. One of the offenses to the holy name is an inattention. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that this inattention leads to other offenses. By not being attentive in chanting the holy name, the tendency to commit other offenses will be stronger like that. So chant 16 good rounds. Follow the regulative principles. I mentioned 64 regulative principles. They're mentioned in Nectar Devotion. Now Krishna has taken these 64 regulative principles and he summed them up in the 11th canto. You can look up the verse. I don't remember the exact summation of all the principles. But it's the 11th canto, 19th chapter, verses 20 through 24. And Krishna takes those 64 regulative principles and makes them into 15. He condenses them into 15. Bhaktivinoda Thakur points to that verse to show here is the essence of those 64 principles. So follow the regulative principles and carefully avoid offenses. If you do these three things, pretty much, you've pretty much understood the process. Two are positive and one is negative. Like that. Of course, when we say 64 regular, it includes a lot. There's a lot in there. Huh?
A lot of detail.
Yeah. There's finer and finer understandings of each of the principles, too. Like that. But I think if we can focus on that much, I think that's sufficient to get us, we say, fixed. Most important, of course, is to carefully chant our rounds. I notice this a lot, and the devotees have a tendency to get lax in their japa. And it happens all the time. It happens, I find myself also doing. If I'm not consciously reminding myself the importance of chanting attentively, the tendency is that we start getting a little lax. And therefore we have to be very careful to keep that principle very foremost in our mind.
I was thinking about that this morning. I was sitting next to Radha Swami.
Yeah, it's a good place to sit.
Very good place. Figured that one out as soon as I got here. So, and then I was thinking, as we were chanting, if you want to associate with God, this is how you can immediately associate with God. As soon as you say Hare Krishna, you're with God. So you have to prepare yourself properly to be with God. And then I started thinking, this is the most important job right now, is chanting this mantra, is chanting our japa. This is the most important job in the world. No other political job, no other medical job, no other, engineering job. This is the job that needs to be done. It's very intense, focused japa. So I was thinking like that.
Yeah, and it's a cultivation. It's a constant cultivation. We can say so much. We can give a whole class on the importance of chanting the holy names of the Lord. But as a reminder to devotees in general, be very, very conscious of this. Especially the tendency is that the mind will wander, and if you're not careful, you allow your mind to wander. The more it wanders day after day, then the wandering tendency becomes fixed. And when you try to control it, it becomes so difficult. As soon as you see it wandering, don't give it a chance to go and bring it back. Don't be afraid to force your mind. Mind's a rascal. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati says, your mind is a non-devotee. Hare Bol. So you're associating with a non-devotee. We want to associate with devotees, so you have to make your mind a devotee. Therefore, the intelligence keeps the mind focused. Any other questions, comments? Yes, Mataji.
This is how Prabhupada sums it up. Casually means casualty. So we can remember that. When we're casual, then casualty is automatically coming. So it's a very good phrase.
Casually means casualty. Yeah.
That's it.
Swimming upstream. Probably also uses the term swimming upstream. The material current is going in one direction. Devotional service means to swim against the current. So as soon as you become casual, what happens? You float backwards. But as we cultivate the mode of goodness, then we become fixed in the process. And that's important. We have to cultivate these qualities that are conducive to devotional service. Then the process becomes, what we say, more easily executed. You have to get over the modes of passion and ignorance. Which really, passion simply means selfishness. Ignorance means destructiveness. Passion means selfishness. Goodness means selflessness. So that's the characteristics of each of the mode. We have to get over that mood of selfishness. We serve for the benefit of the Lord and for the benefit of others. Okay, thank you very much for your kind attention. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you, Hare Krishna.